This may be an old way to start a sermon, but can I have a raise of hands if you are from Ireland or if we have any Irish people here? One. Okay, you might want to block your ears for this, but I'm going to attempt an Irish accent as part of this intro. So there was once a man, and he was in Ireland, and he went to a Christmas store because he was searching for a nativity scene for his house. And he came across a nativity scene and noticed that there were the wise men, and they were all wearing firefighting hats on them. And so he was thinking to himself, why do these wise men have firefighting hats on? This obviously isn't a very biblical Christmas store. They obviously haven't read the Bible. Now, he began to walk out of the Christmas store when the lady at the counter said, wait, that's my attempt at an Irish accent so far. But she continued talking to him and pulled out her Bible and began speaking to him to prove why the wise men had their firefighters' hats on. And she pointed to a verse and said, the wise men came from a fire. And so, there you go. Irene, maybe you can help me out a wee bit later about how to perfect that accent. But there we go. This is my attempt. But yeah, on that note, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. Thank you for the awesome Christmas story and for everything we can learn from it. I pray that we would all be convicted from what your word has to teach us, and we would all go away growing in relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So in case you haven't gathered so far, we are getting into the Christmas season, and I've been asked to give a message about Christmas, and more specifically, the wise men. And I was thinking about what to talk about, and I wanted to talk about the wise men's faith, and the faith that they had in order to go on the journey that they did. So in order to understand the wise men and their faith, we need to understand who the wise men were and what faith is. And so I believe I've got here, there we go, there's the intro. In Hebrews 11:1, we've got the definition of faith that the Bible gives. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is not blind. And many people claim that Christians have blind faith, that we just simply put our trust in something that we hope exists. But this passage teaches us otherwise. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not yet seen. And then later in verse 2, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, on the screen now, we've got a picture of a plane. Now, when you're about to step onto the plane, you require an element of faith, okay? Now, the biblical definition of faith, I guess if we break it down, is the confidence or the trust we have in something while we don't fully see the future events. In other words, when we have faith in God, we put our trust in Him based on what we know, and we put our trust in Him that future things will occur. So when we become a Christian, we have probably come to the conclusion that God exists, hopefully, and we put our trust that we will be put our trust in Him that we will be forgiven in the future. Well, we will be forgiven now, and we will end up with Him in heaven. Now, just like how we would put our faith in God, we can put our faith in planes. Now, in order for us to step onto a plane, we need to believe that the plane exists as well. And so we may have seen planes before. We may know that planes will, they can fly. We may have been on one before. Do we have any engineers in here? I know we've got Andy at the back. But you may have looked at the physics behind it and how a plane can actually take flight. And eventually you come to the conclusion, okay, I believe in the plane and I believe the plane can take off. But we still require that step of faith to get onto the plane and truly start flying. Because in order to become a Christian, there are kind of two things you need to do. You need to believe in God, but the second thing is to actually put your faith in Him. And I once heard a speaker by the name of Frank Turek say that the two most important questions in life, well, the first one is, does God exist? And if you come to the conclusion that He does exist, then the second most important question is, what should I do about it? And in which case, you'd probably say, well, you'd become a Christian and put your faith in Him. So that's what faith is. And it's putting that faith or that trust in God for the future things. And that's what the wise men did as well. Now, who were the wise men? We'll read from Matthew 2, 1 to 12, I think. Yeah, I've got it on my slides here, so you can read along with me, or if you have your Bibles as well. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them whether Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Now, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, the wise men were called Magi, and as we learned from the children's song at the beginning, it mentioned that they were Magi, and it was actually the first time I'd heard them being called Magi before I started looking into the wise men, and they were known to be very intelligent and knowledgeable. Now, the Bible never actually mentions how many wise men there were. We often talk about there being three wise men, but the Bible never specifically mentions it. And I think we've just come to the conclusion that there must have been three because of the three gifts that were given. But in reality, there could have been anywhere from, two to you pick a number. But I guess it also helps when we're trying to sing the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." It might be a bit tricky if we had to change the lyrics to, "We kings of an indeterminate number from Orient are," may not go very well at Christmas carols. But I've actually come to learn that a more appropriate song may actually be, "I'm going to be 500 miles" by the Proclaimers, where they sing, "I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more." And they're talking about how they'd walk 1,000 miles to get to the person that they seek and get to the person they love. So this is a Christmas carol now, if you want to go and sing about that one. Now, the wisdom that is talked about for the wise men is different to what we might associate a wise man to be today. You know those jokes that go, "A wise man once said this," and in fact, I've got one here. It says, "A wise man once said, 'It is better to say nothing at all.' An even wiser man didn't say that." No, the Bible isn't talking about those wise men. It's a different kind of wisdom, and it's a biblical kind of wisdom. In Proverbs 9:10, we see, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So it says that wisdom is when we have a fear of the Lord. Now, this fear is a reverence, a respect, and a trust of the Lord and His revealed will. Now, we have to wonder, where did these wise men get their fear of the Lord from? Well, the Bible doesn't explicitly tell us, but it is believed to be Daniel that introduced the Magi to the Scriptures and to the God of Israel. And it's quite interesting how, this is just a wee side note, often I'm preparing a talk for Jesus Club or preparing a sermon, and just, I'm not going to say by chance, but I happen to be reading, and I know, of course, this is God who has just spoken to me to tell me to read this, but I happen to be reading the book that just has everything to do with the topic. So when I was thinking of what book in the Bible should I read next, and I prayed about it, God said, "Read Daniel." And I was like, "Okay, I'll read Daniel." I thought it would be good to learn about how Daniel would disobey kind of authorities in a biblical way and in a way that still honors God. I thought that was particularly relevant to now. But it was also very relevant to the wise men, because I learned that, we suppose that Daniel actually shared the knowledge of the Scriptures and the God of Israel with the wise men of the time. You remember when King Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all the wise men if they couldn't interpret his dream. And he was about to kill them all. In fact, he did go around killing a few, but then Daniel kind of saved them by interpreting the dream, and the wise men were still there. And we can kind of, I guess, assume that maybe Daniel at this time shared with these wise men the knowledge of the scriptures and the knowledge of the God of Israel. Well, sometime after this, he must have introduced them or the rest of the Magi to the Holy Scriptures. And from there, they studied the scriptures for centuries up until the point of where they followed the star. And it's not confirmed where they lived, but at the time of Daniel, the wise men were in Babylon. And we can kind of assume that they might have been around this area. But they were studying the prophecies in the Bible. And they had such a good knowledge of, you know, mathematics. They put together the different times and lengths between, or when the prophecies had prophesied when the Messiah would come to Bethlehem. But we've got actually a few prophecies up here that I'll show you in the book of Daniel. Oh, yeah, there we go. That's the dream that Daniel interpreted. But in Daniel 9:24, it says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression and make... and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, as I mentioned before, the wise men who could read these prophecies and figure out the maths behind it, I actually learned that when it says 70 weeks, weeks meant seven to the Israelites at the time, and if you do the maths and you go 70 times 7, you get 490. And if we go by 490 years and you look at the time where that prophecy was given, which was around the reign of King Darius, then it was about 490 years before Jesus was born. So they took these prophecies and they had the faith to believe them. And then when that time came around, they must have been very watchful, very vigilant, thinking, okay, we're looking for some sort of sign in this big star, which is probably quite an obvious sign to them. Especially when we look at other prophecies as well. And we've got one in Micah. This is the one that they actually mention when talking to King Herod. And it says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, I don't know if I said that properly, but though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Now, from this prophecy, we know that there will be a ruler of Israel, or the wise men knew that there would be a ruler of Israel. And then another one in Numbers 24:17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. Now, this way they knew that there would be a star. So far we have established that the wise men were the Magi from the east. We don't know exactly where they were, but we can assume that they were somewhere from the east of Bethlehem. And that they were wise because they had the fear of the Lord in them, and they had knowledge and wisdom. That meant that they could understand the prophecies to see the sign of the star and understand that meant that Jesus was born. Now, on top of having faith and understanding the scriptures as we are called to do, and to understand the prophecies, they also had incredible amounts of faith, because it's one thing to believe it, but it's the next thing to actually go and follow it. And they partook in a particularly rough journey. I think I've got a picture in this next one. There we go. I searched up Middle Eastern desert on Google, so we can, I guess, assume that it looks something like this. This is the kind of the terrain that they must have been walking through. And again, the Bible doesn't explicitly mention where the wise men lived. All it says is that they were from the east. Now, they could have been somewhere near Iran or Iraq, which is where Babylon was, or they could have been as far as China. We can't jump to any conclusions, but as I mentioned before, let's assume that they were somewhere around where Babylon used to be. So in Iran, is it either Iran or Iraq? I haven't written that one down, but yeah. Anyway, it was about 850 kilometers away from Bethlehem. So you can imagine an 850-kilometer journey on the back of a camel following a star and having the faith in the scriptures. And again, they didn't know with 100% certainty that Jesus was going to be there or the Messiah was born, but instead they had faith. And it's that faith built on what they knew. What they did know was that Daniel had, or God had saved them through Daniel. And Daniel had interpreted the dreams, and they had probably seen and heard of when Daniel was saved from the lion's den, and from when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved from the fiery furnace. And so out of this trust that they had built, or that faith that they had built from their experiences and from what they had seen, they had the faith of the future event of seeing Jesus. Now, a camel can roughly travel about 30 kilometers a day with a full load. And let's assume that they had a full load. You know, some of them would have been carrying these precious things like gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they would also have to carry stuff like tents and stuff. But if they were moving 30 kilometers a day, going 850 kilometers through some pretty rugged terrain, it would be a trip that would take probably about 30 to 40 days, assuming they don't stop. And they may have stopped a few times, spent a few days resting, feeding the camels, making sure they're still strong. Now, that's a pretty long journey. And that's assuming that they lived in Babylon. If they lived as far as China, it could have taken 4 or 5 months and stuff. Could have even taken a few years. And so, yeah, I find the car trip from here to Nelson to be pretty long. We often go up and travel. It's about 5 hours. You're stuck in the car. You know, you've got nice seats and stuff. And here we have the wise men traveling somewhere between, it could have been a month or it could have been up to about 2 years of traveling on the back of a camel through some pretty rugged terrain. And what were they going off? A star in the sky and the faith that they had in the scriptures. So these wise men, they had an incredible amount of faith. We understand that the definition of faith is the substance or the assurance of things happening in the future. The wise men had the assurance that they would see the Messiah. And God didn't break that promise. And he won't break any promise. And if something has been prophesied in the Bible, it will come true. And so often during Christmas time, you hear about the wise men. But to be completely honest, this is the first time I've really kind of dug into it to learn about why the wise men are significant, why they are actually part of the Christmas story. And it kind of, it all made sense why they were there and the lessons that we can learn from them, and that we should trust in the Bible and we should have faith and we should seek Jesus as well. And there's so many things I learned, like how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and how if we have that reverence, that respect, and we trust in God and his revealed will, then God won't break that promise either, just like he didn't with the wise men. And as it was prophesied centuries or even millennia beforehand, the wise men believed it and they had that faith. And I think that's the challenge for us, to believe the Bible and to have that faith. There are plenty of biblical prophecies that are yet to come true yet. And if you don't believe me, go and read Revelation and go and read the Gospels where Jesus prophesied. In fact, a few years ago when we were at church camp, we watched that YouTube series called The Coming Summer, where a man goes through the prophecies of the end times that Jesus mentions, and he goes through to see whether they have come true or not. So there's so many biblical prophecies that haven't yet come true, but are going to, and it's our job to learn about what they are and to have that faith that they are going to happen. So I'll pray to finish. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that we can learn through the wise men and the significant lessons and messages that they can teach us. And I pray that all of us would have the faith of the wise men, we would have that faith of Daniel, and we would have the faith to believe in the scriptures and to trust in your word. Thank you for everyone here, and I pray that we would all grow in relationship with you, grow closer to you, and grow in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.